La del Gana en segunda en las piernas de Turner. Una bola y dos strike contra Nick Castellanos. El lanzamiento, aquí viene línea. Vejín, la bola, vivo. Turner viene de tercera para la goma. Y los Phillies ganan. Nick Castellanos con su quinto walk-off del año. Dejan el terreno. Salen todos los Phillies al terreno de juego. Ahora sale Nick Castellanos. Y los Phillies ganan en forma sensacional. 7-6. Let's go, Phillies. Empatan la serie 1. Y qué bárbaro los Phillies, Ángel. ¡Wow! Increíble.
You know, it's October.
I think that was incredible. I think the last word was incredible.
Yeah. I heard Castellanos a couple times. I knew
did,
that one.
I did that. I wish I would have learned Spanish. I wish I'd have paid attention to Spanish class.
Still time.
Yeah, why not? Learn right now. Learn it during the postseason when we play all the calls from Oscar. You could translate them for
us. No, you know what's funny? When you go, like, say if you go to Baja, Mexico, or whatever, and everybody speaks Spanish, if you're there long enough and you hear certain things, you'll start to pick up on it. But
it's kind of like how I speak Q now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It takes a while.
Yeah, you figure it out. 215-592-9490 for the Spanish call of the Castellanos walk-off. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. How are you feeling? Do you feel good about this series at 1-1? Saturday was a debacle, wasting the start by Wheeler. Poor swings all day, poor offensive approach. But yesterday, when that switch flipped, man, it did. The home run by Bryce, the home run by Castellanos, an incredible at-bat by Stott. And then, of course, the Casty walk-off in the ninth inning. Let's go to the phones here. Jeff in Wilmington.
Jeff
kicks us off. Good morning, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Jeff, how are we feeling this morning?
I tell you what, man, I feel pretty good. I got to be honest with you, man. That was up and down. I don't know if you guys remember. You might not even have been born. But when the Phillies played the Astros in the 80 playoffs, every game was up and down, one-run game. Now, I know the first game wasn't a run-run game here, but it had that feel where it just you just don't know what's going to happen. I feel if the Phillies can get – if they can approach the plate like they did in the last three or four innings of this game yesterday, there's no stopping them. But the bullpen has got – these guys have got to step up. He wasted a huge effort by Wheeler on Saturday, and Sanchez pitched – pretty good yesterday, but you can't be flailing at pitches left and right out of the zone like they did in the first three or four innings yesterday.
Well, you can't. And some of them were, Jeff, but from Saturday through the beginning of yesterday's game were ugly. Yeah. I mean, they had Turner in the fifth inning, I think it was, on Saturday, let Peterson off the hook with a terrible swing on the first pitch. And then Castellanos, Jeff, yesterday on the at-bat where he got, you know, kind of mockingly cheered there, the first couple swings he had, those pitches were a foot and a half outside. Like, they really... I don't know what happened. Maybe they just clicked and they locked in. But boy, like their approach from the sixth inning on yesterday just was totally different than the first couple, you know, games.
Yep. So I watched the highlights after I was driving yesterday. So I listened to the game, and I got to tell you, man, Fransky is the best. He elevates. He knows when to elevate his voice. I mean, it was like that back-to-back home run. He was barely even done talking about Harper's home run, and Castellanos goes after the first pitch or second pitch and drives it out of the park. I mean, he really sets the scene. You can see it in your eye what's going on in that stadium and the way that they produce it with the volume of the crowd going up, and he lets the crowd breathe. He's just the best, man.
He's incredible.
No doubt about that.
He's one of the greatest voices, Jeff, appreciated, that I've ever heard do play-by-play. Sometimes I think when you have a great like Harry Callis and then the next person comes in, it takes a while for you to want to convince your mind you have another all-time great. They do. I mean, that's how good Scott Fransky is on these calls. Let's go back to the phones here, and then we'll let you hear the montage, how it sounded, including a lot of those calls from Scott Fransky yesterday. Big Al in Mullica Hill. What's up, Big Al?
Hey, man. Listen, I'm a little bit... upset about the yanking Wheeler. Okay, 111 pitches. Years ago, the pitchers would throw 130, 140, no big deal. They're sissifying the position. Now, I would have said to Wheeler, can you go out for the eighth, okay, and then let them go out until either one man gets on or if someone hits a home run, no big deal, they're down 2-1, and then make the switch. I would not have brought in a left-hander to pitch yesterday to pitch to the right-handed hitting team. One other question I had: what did Nemo say to Real Muto after he hit that home run when he was crossing home plate? They had some words.
So we're going to do a big Hugh breakdown coming up, Big Al, where Hugh's going to try to read the lips of Nemo and Castellanos. Now, as far as your point on Wheeler, I was at the game Saturday, and I thought he was tiring that last inning. I didn't have a problem
with
it.
That's a lot of pitches.
It's 111 pitches. I thought his last inning.
And he was throwing gas.
Yeah, I thought he was on fumes the last inning, Al. Could they have left him in? Maybe for one more inning. But I just thought.
Started pitching if you go game five?
Yeah, he will pitch game five. I thought, Bill Gale, I thought he was about to be out of gas.
Yeah, but he was still throwing 97.
I know, but it didn't look the same. He was missing spots. Sometimes with a starting pitcher, it goes, and it could have went fast. Like, the same thing that happened to the bullpen could have happened to Wheeler if they kept him in for the eighth inning. It just, we didn't see it.
I would say they only had one hit, let him go for at least one more man, two more men, until somebody gets on, then yank him.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure you're not the only one that feels that. Big Al, we appreciate it. Now, let me say this, because, Wheeler is set up to go in game five if they need him. When we get to Friday night, if there is a game five, Hugh, I think there's a chance he pitches more pitches this Friday.
Yeah, because you're playing chess. You're not playing checkers. Buddy already threw like 111 pitches. I get what people are saying with that. I don't think it was a bad move because you're looking at the long game.
Well, and you anticipate the bullpen's going to come and do the job. That's why people are mad, right? It's not that they took Wheeler out, that Hoffman
that the bullpen
and
didn't do that, what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, they stunk on Saturday. I mean, that's just, they have
stunk
a
stunk is so strong.
Didn't they stink? Five run inning?
Saying, it was just so strong.
They stunk. The bullpen for the Phillies has stunk so far. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear it. The montage, how yesterday sounded. After the game, there were a lot of Rocky references to yesterday's game, the back and forth heavyweight battle. Well, the great Joe Wechter put this together, and I think it encapsulated it all.
Game two, it is Mets and Phillies in their first ever postseason series. The Mets trying to head back to Queens with a 2-0 lead. The Phillies trying to bounce back and come away with a split.
Two worlds collide, rival nations.
Lined up the middle, and there is a leaping grab by Stott. Oh, wow, what a play by Bryson Stott. That ball was bound for center field, and Bryson takes a hit away.
Ground ball right side. Harper lays out. He gloves it, gets up, steps on the bag, and great glove work. Harper chucks it into the third deck on the first base side.
First pitch on the way. It's swung on, hit in the air to right. It's pretty well hit. Going back on a Castellanos to the track at the wall. It's gone. And Mark Vientos now has a double and a homer, and the Mets have a 2-0 lead.
Here's the pitch to Castellanos. Another sweeper cut on and missed. It's 0-2. Oh, and now we got some boos coming around the stadium. Swing at a ground ball, softly left side. Charging Lindor, throws to first in time. A little frustration from the Phils fans.
Yep. And the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right. It's deep. Back is Castellanos at the track, looking up, and it's gone. Opposite field home run for Pete Alonso. And it's 3-0 New York. Severino's ready, and the pitch. Harper swings, drives it high and deep center field. Bader going back to the track, looking up, and it's gone! Off the batter's eye. Home run for Bryce Harper, and there's life back in the joint as the Phillies trail by a run. It's 3-2. Breaking ball blasted. Game is tied. Castellanos way back to left center. Back to back for the Phillies, and it's a brand new game. 3-3 here in the bottom of the sixth.
To get on the board and get the crowd back in it, and then I thought our bats got a lot better.
Ball hit in the air to right. It's deep. Castellanos back, turns, looks, it's gone. And the Mets are back in front. Just like that, a line drive home run by Brandon Nimmo. 4-3 New York.
It's a gutter war. No holds barred. Hockey may be on the receiving end so far, but he's here to fight.
I mean, I thought both teams, man, punch for punch. I said it to the guys. I said Rocky would be proud. Never die mentality, man.
Stretch in the 0-1. Swung on, line down the right field line. That is going to be a fair ball. Harper around second. He's heading for third. He'll make it there without a throw. Castellanos with his second hit of the day. And the Phils in business here in the bottom of the eighth. Tying run is 90 feet away. Bryson Stott, the birthday boy, coming up now. Diaz goes full with Stott. The 3-2 on the way. Swung on, line down the right field line. It's fair, just inside the line. The game's tied. Castellanos into third. Dusty is waving him home. Here's the relay to the plate. There'll be no throw. Phillies lead it as the birthday boy, Bryson Stott, puts the Phillies on top, 5-4.
After I got to third, kind of settled down for a second and just tried to keep myself calm so I didn't do anything dumb.
Swing and a chop. Runner's coming home. Vientos drops it.
tipped it 6-4 Phillies. Big insurance run.
Huge.
Swung on, hit high in the air, left center field. Hayes going back towards the alleyway, at the track, at the wall. It's gone. Yeah. A two-run home run that ties the game here in the top of the ninth. It's 6-6.
And there's no stopping us now. Don't stop it now. You start, we don't stop. All your strength, all your power, all your love, everything you've got, when you got to knock him out. Your whole life.
The Phillies, during the regular season this year, enjoyed 10 walk-off wins, and Nick Castellanos delivered the winning hit in four of them. At one ball, two strikes, looks back at second, the pitch. Swung on, line down the left field line, and that's going to win it. Castellanos has done it. Turner is scoring, and the Phillies walk it off here at the bottom of the ninth. A game two victory, 7-6, as the Phillies come racing out of the dugout. Dancing around between first and second as Nick Castellanos has won the ball game. 7-6 the final. The Phillies win it. And Mr. Walkoff delivers again.
Now that's a montage shoot. That, I got to tell you, that's the best Joe Wechter montage I've ever heard.
That was pretty good.
Awesome.
But he always does a good job.
Yeah, he does. But that one, there's something about the Rocky reference. I need Rocky Would Be Proud with Bryce Harper's face on a t-shirt. That was
a little pandering, though.
Of course it was. But
that's a lot of pandering.
Did you expect anything less?
No, but I'm just like, that was a little ham sandwich.
Oh, man.
Hey, Bryce, that was a ham sandwich right there.
You know what? I'll take it, though. I wanted it yesterday. That was a ham sandwich. Well, what do you expect? Because they were talking about the game being a heavyweight fight, punches being back and forth.
Rocky would have been so proud of.
Darn right he would have been.
I mean, he definitely would have.
Yeah, after.
Yeah. I mean, I get
Rocky
that.
Rocky Balboa would have loved watching that game.
That was a ham sandwich.
Oh, it was awesome. 215-592-9494. John in West Philly. What's up, John? John, you there, buddy? All right, put John back on hold.
I mean, come on.
Let's go to Matt in Mullica Hill. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Matt. What are you feeling today?
Much better. Relief. Oh, my gosh. Talk about stress.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, you talk about stress in the middle of that game yesterday. My mind's starting to race to the worst. Like, they're dead. They're going back to Citi Field 0-2. Like, what's the future of this thing?
I mean, you probably weren't the only one thinking that.
No, I think we all were. I mean, like, you know, we were on the brink of disaster.
No doubt. I just have a suggestion. It may not have worked, but their hottest hitter, can we try pitching around Vientos a little bit?
Well, they can. I mean, the issue is he's batting second in the order, right? So then you're setting up Nimmo and Alonso, who both homered yesterday. Matt, the issue is their lineup is good. I mean, they've got good hitters 1-9. Like, there's no soft spot in that lineup. So we gotta buckle in and score some runs to beat them.
That's the truth. I know it's Monday morning quarterback. You know, after the fact, of course.
Well, yeah, and look, Vientos, he's a rookie. I mean, he's going to be a thorn in our side for a long time. They found a good player there. It's just wild. Like, you know, he was a good player during the season, but he's gone up a notch these two games. We can't get him out.
No doubt. Scary.
Yeah, man. Matt, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Hugh, they've got a lot of good hitters. I mean, that's the Mets, we talked about before the series, their game. Like, they're not – I know they had a hot run. They're not fluky, though. Like, they're – If the Phillies could get through them, it's a real challenge.
No, this is significant. This would be very, very significant, man. And I tell you what, we just got to do a better job of getting to their bullpen because it seems like they're starting to leak oil a little
bit. That's the weakness. Well, especially Diaz. You saw it yesterday. I mean, they brought him in the seventh inning. And when it happened, I'm like, well, how are they finishing this game? There's no way he was going to be able to go through all the way through the ninth inning. And by the time we got to the eighth, he was tired. Let's go to Greg in the Northeast. What's up, Greg?
Yo, Hugh, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Greg, how we feeling?
Bro, how can you not be romantic about baseball? I went through like 13 different emotions just watching that game. Then you see Castellanos at the end. I got teary-eyed when he like approached his son, man. Unbelievable, man. It was awesome.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, Greg, there's nothing. Like every sport has its own great moments, and we all love the Eagles and the NFL. For me, there's nothing like playoff baseball. Like just the roller coaster of emotions for 3 hours. Like, you know, half the time you're up and you feel great. Half the time you just want to throw up. It's the best sport in the world.
Citizens Bank Park, man. There's nothing beats it in October. I'm going to say I'm a little I'm still apprehensive. I don't know, man. I don't know what Nola we're going to get tomorrow. I'm hoping he's 7 innings, gives up a run or two, but we have to hit the ball, man. We have to hit the ball. Last thing I'm going to say is go Birds.
Go Birds. Greg, we appreciate it. Well, yeah, I mean, Hugh, they're going to have to hit to finish the series.
Oh, yeah, that, we knew that. And we knew the thing that was frustrating about the last 2 days were that they came into this knowing exactly what they shouldn't have done, and they did it anyway. They were chasing a lot of pitches, so you can't do that. You have to be a little patient, man. And like you said, well, like we said, the pitching for them is getting a little worn. So you got to take advantage of that, especially up there. It's going to be loud, and it's going to be just as obnoxious as it was here.
All right, how much do we want to give in terms of blame or significance to the shadows the last 2 days? The Phillies spoke about it after game one, Castellanos and Turner. And to be fair, the sound you just heard is what we all felt. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear excuses. But I will say it does seem like there's something to it, right? Look at the offenses, specifically the Phillies, game mm-hmm. one and two, when they started to hit the ball, right? It's when the shadows got a little bit better as the game went on.
Yeah.
The first three, four, five innings of the first two games, the Phillies look like they can't see the baseball. They're swinging like they can't see the baseball. They got better at-bats, Hugh, as the game went on in game one. And then yesterday, whether it be the shadows or they just felt like a sense of urgency, once the sixth inning rolled around, sixth, eighth, ninth, they started to hit again. I don't want to hear them make the excuse. I do think some of what happened in the beginning of the first two games was it's hard to see the ball.
It is. I think it's a valid excuse, but here's the problem. Fans don't want to hear that.
Of course not.
I mean, you know, we're sitting in the stands. We're a little lathered up. We're enjoying the game.
A little lathered up.
And we're watching, okay, a lot lathered up. And we're watching, you know, we see Schwarber hit that first home run.
Yep.
And the first thing that you go to, because as a fan, that's what you think, well, hell, Schwarber sees it. They see it. The other team sees it. They have to play in the same situation. So it's one of those dogs that don't hunt, Joe. That's one of those ones that, even though it might be true and there might be some validity to it, fans don't want to hear that. Not in that moment. They don't want to hear that at all.
So I think there is some validity to it. I think you could tell the Mets didn't have their best at-bats early in the first game either against Wheeler. Then they got going as the day went along. It just doesn't matter, though, right? You have to. These are the times the games are set at. I mean, this is it. Now, yeah. I think the next two games are at 5 o'clock. The game five is also set for a late afternoon game. Now, that could change. If that's the only game five to be played on Friday night, I think they'll move it to Friday night at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever to get the primetime audience. But there's a chance, Kyle, based on how the other games go, the other series go, we have three more late afternoon games to finish this thing. I think it's something, but just figure it out.
Yeah, it can't be anything that any players go back to and use as an excuse, especially can't say it to the media. Like, we're not dumb. We all saw the NLCS last year, which, by the way, the game started at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, they were nighttime games.
And they were nighttime games, and that's exactly how the offense looked, where they're chasing at everything. So, like, you know, you can't fool us. You're not going to pull our legs. We've been watching this team for years do that, and we know how hot and cold they can be. I don't want to hear any of that. And by the way, during that layoff where they were, quote-unquote, so prepared for all of this, did nobody figure, hey, there's going to be shadows in our stadium at a 4 o'clock game. Maybe we do this intra-squad game. They do something about that, or at least try to prepare a little bit better for that. So it fell on deaf ears for me when they were talking about it.
Just lock in. It's almost like if it's a slippery field in football. It's the same for both teams, right? It's not like the Mets get to hit with no shadows and the Phillies. It's the same thing. And whenever the shadows move out or the sun changes a little bit, both teams benefit around the same time of the game. Figure it out. Let's go to Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
How we doing today, man?
Chris, man, I'm just extra coffee this morning. A lot of emotions, not much sleep last night, Chris. What are you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling the same. I told Kyle I damn near threw the TV out the window yesterday. It was quite a ride. I don't know. Guys, here's what I'm feeling. So we're counting down from 10, all right?
Yes, 10 more wins.
10 to go here, but can we please talk about the elephant in the room here?
Which is?
Those people, okay? Those people that announced that game, they made my ears bleed on that national telecast on FS1. If I have to listen to A.G. Pierzynski again and Wainwright, dude, I'm definitely not listening. I'm turning it down, and I'm going to turn 94.1 on, listen to the broadcast.
So, Chris, I heard a lot of this. So I was at the game Saturday, so I didn't hear any of the broadcast Saturday.
Me neither.
And then, obviously, I was home yesterday, so I watched it. And Chris, I guess the last couple years, I just, because when I'm home a lot, if it's not the Phillies, I'll listen to the radio. Like, I'll be around my house. I'll listen to the, like, last time I listened to Dodgers podcast on the radio. So I haven't caught much of those guys doing a game. Przinski stinks. I don't mind Wainwright. He's okay. Przinski's annoying. I don't think he brings much insight. You're right. That it's a brutal broadcast on Fox.
It was bad. And again, I say this with all due respect. They're trash. Okay? So, you know, guys, listen, I love the game, though. Bryce did it, dude. He lit the fuse and got that team going in the momentum. And then here was the best thing. Joe, I said this when I called you on Saturday. And I told you, I said, listen, they need good baseball at-bats. And they finally locked in and started doing that. And it was amazing that it wasn't just Bryce. Bryce started it, but you saw it from Stott. You saw it from Turner on the base paths. You saw it with Realmuto, you know, making contact that drove in that two stop that ended up keeping us in the game to give us the walk-off in the ninth. And Nick, you know, we can't thank this guy enough. I mean, Joe, you've already had the apology tour on the show. We've crucified him, but we got to give him a heads up. Guys, I want them to stay locked in. Tomorrow is a must win.
It is.
If I have to go in down 1-2 and count on Ranger with the dead arm Ranger out there in game four, I may not be alive. So I need a win tomorrow, guys.
Need it. It's a must win. Chris, great phone call. 215-592-9494. It was the small things that won that game. The at-bats, the home runs were great, but it was those little things. The at-bats, the defense yesterday.
Definitely the
JT
defense.
JT making contact. That's what won that game. All right, your calls on the Phils all show. We have a split heading to New York. How are you feeling? Gut check day here on the Midday Show. Do you feel good after the split? And we come back on the other side. We'll get to a huge decision made by Topper this weekend. What he said about benching Alec Bohm, how Bohm handled it. That's all next. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.